Welcome back, everyone, to the Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org. Or you can just go to the main site at remnantofgod.org, click the Contact Us link on the main page, and you can get to me from there. If you would like copies of today's program, click the Antique Radios on the main page of the website, surf to the archives from that page. Or you can simply go to the audio section of the main menu and click the archives link directly from there. You can listen online to past programs, download MP3s, or order CDs for your friends. So let's get back to what we were doing right before the break. I was mentioning how I'm going to go into some of this these so-called prophetic utterances of St. Malachi of the Roman Catholic Church. But before doing so, understand that this is a church of lies. And they're going to rely heavily on those lies to get the people to embrace their lies. So what I would like to do now is share the last few predictions of the Roman Catholic saint Malachi so as to ensure a better understanding of what's being said here in this broadcast. All right. Pope number 105. Oh, wait, let's skip 105 and 106 because all he gives is, for example, like I said earlier, the grand majority of these mottos, they're called. Their mottos are just little kind of one word or two or three word sentences that explain the name of each pope and what, you know, that's it, just to explain his name or his origin or something, I don't know. But that's the grand majority of these so-called predictions, that's all they are. Well, that's all of them are just those little words, but the grand majority of them are not deciphered by the Catholic Church. They can't even do it. Okay? So 105 and 106, and I mean all of them in previous to that are just all just, you know, names. Like, for example, 106 is Pastor Anglicus. That's it. No comments, no explanation, nothing. Okay? And he's actually Pope number 262, but that's motto number 106 because Malachi supposedly did this back in the year 1039 or something. And then they supposedly found it 400 years later. But anyway, for Pope John the 23rd, who was alive from who was Pope from 1958 to 1963. He's Pope number 263 and motto number 107. So-called prophet Malachi says in Latin, Pastor et Nauta, which means in English, Pastor and Marine. And the Catholic Church puts underneath their history saying, prior to his election, he was a Patriarch of Venice, a Marine city, home of the gondolas. Okay? And, Then he talk about Pope Paul the Fifth, or no wait, that's the Sixth. Yes, the Sixth, from 63 to 78. He was motto number 108 is Flos Florum, which means flower of flowers, and their explanation is his arms displayed three lilies. Okay, that's it. That's all they give as an absolute confirmation that this guy's a prophet, right? The next one is John Paul the First, 1978. He was only there for about 3 months. Because they murdered him. They poisoned him because he wanted the Masons out. He's motto number 109, and his so-called motto is De Meditate Luna, which is of the half of the moon. And their history is that they state that he was elected Pope on August 26th. His reign lasted about a month from half a moon to the next half a moon. Okay, that's what they give. All right, we'll get into that a little bit later. And then John Paul II, the one that just died, 1978 to 2005, his motto is De Labor Solis, which is roughly translated of the eclipse of the sun, or that's not really, it's really the labor of the sun. They put in of the eclipse of the sun because they say that this pope, Karol Wojtyła, Wojtyła is how you say it in English, Wojtyła, they say that he... Well, he was born May 18th, 1920, during a solar eclipse. And so they're going to try and change this labor of the sun to the eclipse of the sun. And they also say that he comes from behind the former Iron Curtain. And so they go, he might also be seen as the fruit of the intercession of the woman clothed with the sun, laboring in Revelation 12, because of his devotion to the Virgin Mary. Okay, we'll get into that in a little bit. And then the next pope that supposedly will be elected within the next couple, 3 weeks... is Gloria Olivet. That's it. They don't even give an explanation of that one. You know, I guess they'll do that after he's elected. And I don't mean to chuckle, but this stuff is, you know, it could actually be looked upon as ridiculous sometimes, the way they're coming up this way. And then the last supposed pope, Pope number 112, or I'm sorry, Pope number 268, but model 112 says, and they go this, they say this, they go, in persecutions extrema, sre sedebit Petrus Romanus, and they got all these Latin terms, which in English means, in extreme persecution, the seat of the Holy Roman Church will be occupied by Peter the Roman, who will feed the sheep through many tribulations, at the term of which the city on seven hills will be destroyed, and the formidable judge will judge his people. And then they go, the end. Okay, now, and I got this entire list of all 112 so-called predictions from this so-called prophecy on my website. You just go to the, well, when you get to the website now, it has a slide over when you get to remnantofgod.org and it shows Pope dies. Click the click here there. It'll bring you right to all this stuff. All right. Now, I clipped the list for obvious reasons because it's huge. In the list, the grand majority, as I said earlier, of the models were never defined. Of course, that proves this even more a fallacy because they can't even come up with it. It also proves that Roman Catholic Saint Malachi couldn't even get his facts straight because none of these so-called predictions are matching to any man, not even the man that was Pope, because they can't come up with an explanation as to what they mean. And the prelates in Rome are at a loss for words on how to decipher his fall to Rome. So instead, they choose never to comment on the motto their so-called saint puts forth in the majority of the cases. But look at the motto definitions of some of the more modern popes listed. And let's take them point by point, like I promised. In the motto of Pope John the 23rd, Malachi used the words pastor and marine. Is this not an extremely vague prediction? Are not all popes considered pastors? And how hard would it be to elect a pope that was either born, visited, or had an office near or in a coastal village to make this prophetic motto appear fulfilled? You know? Or he could have had a leaky faucet. is that ridiculous? In the motto of Pope Paul VI, it was used, the word flower was used. So, what's to stop the Vatican from placing flowers on this elected pope's papal crest after he's elected? How convenient is this? They can run as wide a deception as needed here. If Pope Paul came from a city that had a flowery name, it would be good. If his family name was the name of a flower, it would even be better. If he had a craving or having fresh flowers on his breakfast table each and every day, better yet. Problem is, this pope had none of these features. So after his election, his papal crest conveniently bears the image of three lilies, and this is supposedly a fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy, even though 90% of them, they couldn't figure out what they meant. In the motto of Pope John Paul I, they spoke of half a moon. So immediately the Vatican assumes the prediction speaks of his short term. And again, this is the pope that was poisoned for suggesting that all the Masons leave the Vatican because he just wanted to be completely Roman Catholic, not realizing they invented the Masonic religion as well and control it. All popes are 32nd degree Masons. But continuing, looking online, using the words half moon or moon phases, I found not a single reference to a term half moon. I found cities named Half Moon, even ancient sailing vessels with that name, but nary a mention on the actual phases of the moon of this planet or any planet in our solar system was using the term Half Moon. In fact, the U.S. Naval Observatory website spoke of the moon in every phase possible. They even have cute little videos and these big graphics that you can see of the moon in every phase. They mention the new moon, the waxing crescent, the first quarter, the waxing gibbous, the full moon, the waning gibbous, the last quarter, and the waning crescent. Still, the Vatican uses the term Half Moon as if it's an actual phase of the moon so as to somehow make Malachi appear the prophet. You know, liars they are, and liars they shall ever be. They merely lied to not only cover up a murder, but to make their prophet appear truthful as well. Then, of course, we come to the motto of John Paul II that states, De labore solis. Labor is labor. It is not saying eclipse, okay? That's what they put in there. But anyway, that term roughly translated is from the labor or toil of the sun. Again, I ask, how difficult would it be to generalize this prediction on any Catholic prelate? They claim it's fulfilled merely because Karol Wojtyła was born during a solar eclipse, even though it doesn't say anything about an eclipse in that quote. I don't have time to research each and every country on Earth to see just how many millions of children were born on the same day as Karol Wojtyła. But rest assured, the Vatican had literally millions upon millions of choices around the world to choose from to make this prophecy appear fulfilled. Plus, they could have also elected a pope that had a solar familiarity in either his name, the town he was born in, his family crest, or even if he had a passion for planting sunflowers, for that matter. Truth is, the fact he was his mother's son should be sufficient, would it not? I mean, my dad was called Sonny by his mother as well as all his Catholic friends, so he could have been installed as pope just as easy, because the Vatican law states any layman, any Roman Catholic layman, can wear that crown as well. Still, if none of these held true, they could have easily had his papal crest emblazoned with a solar disk, as they did for Pope Paul VI with those lilies or the flowers. Okay. Now, their attempt to stretch the prediction to the limit is obvious in their assumption that his devotion to Mary, the pagan queen of heaven, out of Jeremiah 7:18, is in any way a connection to the prophecy in Revelation 12, verse 1. They, you know, where it speaks of the woman, you know, with, clothed by the sun, they even use the word might in their assumptions here. That, my friend, is an open and obvious intimation that someone is trying to convince you by their own lack of faith in their, either their God or their researched data. Someone that truly understands prophecy never uses words like maybe, perhaps, or could be. When someone tries to tell me that they don't know the answer to something and they say it could be or possibly is this, well, then I don't need to talk to them about that because they're not giving me the answers. They're giving me their opinions or assumptions. The strange thing here is they share their confusion in what appears to be a permanent statement in this document tagged a prophetic utterance. Still, many clamor to their door just as prophecy said they would in Revelation 13:3. The next model is supposedly designed to predict the next pope by the statement, Gloria Olivae. Gloria, meaning halo, nimbus, or fame or glory, and Olivae, meaning, well, I searched all over the internet, online, on for you know Latin and Italian for references, I could find none. They come up with a word that mentioned anywhere for Olivae, O-L-I-V-A-E. I even have software that translates Latin to English, and that word Olivae is just not in there. However, it's obviously referring to olives. So, this next pope, will they look for one who has a craving for olives? He drinks martinis, you know, from a town with olives as an export? From a family with an olive business? Or I'm sure they will do as they all they can to once again convince the masses that Malachi is a prophet to trust. So this next pope's name or origin will be one to watch on this particular aspect, as will the one that's about to be elected now. Okay, now the final prediction that and supposed final pope, as I said earlier, is this a method to catch the masses off guard? Well, yes, that's what I believe. Judging by the well-documented history of this lying church, one can easily see Satan's hand in all that they do. Satan knows his time is short, and he also knows that the Vatican will burn before the eyes of man as just deserts for their sins against the the men of this world, or the men of God, and the children of God, and women of God. Revelation 18 confirms it, that whole chapter. The prophecy displays a violent end to this blasphemous church, and here we see Satan speaking through one of his false prophets, Rome calls Saint Malachi, declaring that the church will continue to feed the sheep through many tribulations. This gives false hope to those that trust Malachi as well as the lying prelates in this church. Since they think this prophecy is authentic, they will also be led to think they will be safe in the church, even during this time of tribulation, because the prophecy says the church will continue to feed the sheep at that time, intimating it to be of God. You know, this is no different than the seven-year trib lie. It's getting great numbers of people ready to be caught 100% off guard. By the way, the mention of the seven-hilled city in this motto as well, where it said, let me get back to it. The seat of the Holy Roman Church will be occupied by the Peter Roman, who will feed the sheep through many tribulations, at the term of which the city on seven hills will be destroyed, and a formidable judge will judge his people. Okay, now the seven hills in this model is yet another evidence that this is the Church of Antichrist, for it is written quite plainly in Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. How does prophecy define those seven heads? Look just a few verses lower in the Bible to find out. The angel that is showing John this vision actually tells him point blank what those seven heads actually mean. Revelation 17:9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, right? Now let's look in the Strong's Concordance on that word mountain. It's number 3735. How is it translated out? Well, it can be used mountain, mount, or hill. Now, for further confirmation that the Vatican does, in fact, sit on seven hills, in their Roman Catholic Encyclopedia, on page 529, it says, it is within the city of Rome called the City on Seven Hills that the entire area of the Vatican State proper is now confined. And in the, where am I getting this one? From geographyabout.com, if you put in the query, what are the seven hills of Rome? It'll say Rome is now built on seven hills. Rome was said to be founded when Romulus and Remus, twin sons of Mars, ended up at the foot of the hill Palatine and founded the city. The other six hills are, and they list them. Okay? You can also go into the Encyclopedia Britannica and put in the query, seven hills of Rome. And they'll say again, more or less what this other one said about it being the city of Rome is built on seven hills. And it also names the seven hills, but it gives the Latin name for each hill as well. So, for those of us that are unaware of who that woman is in Revelation 17:9, that sitting on that beast that has that seven heads, that it represents seven hills, please allow me to share. But before investigating this prophetic symbol that describes who she is, we first of all need to understand how the Word of God tells us to define symbols in prophecy. Not this haphazard method that Rome does, looking for a flower on a papal crest, and if it ain't there, put it there. It's not man's private opinion. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1:20, no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. And of course, Malachi is not even from Scripture, so it can't be prophecy. According to the Word, Christians are told never to give our opinion of what a prophetic symbol means. This, as we just learned, is exactly what the Vatican does. Okay? Nothing but private opinion. Did you see a single line of Scripture defining any of what St. Malachi said? I couldn't find any. As Christians, we must allow the Word of God to define its own symbols. Anybody claims to be a prophet today, they'll point right back to the Scriptures anyway. That's one of the signs of a true prophet. You don't see any of this happening in Rome or with Malachi's writings. Our private interpretations are useless and easily used to expose us as false prophets, as we just saw here. Truth is, there are 404 verses in the book of Revelation. Out of those 404 verses, 278 of them can be found almost word for word in all the other books of the Bible. So, in other words, the Bible defines itself perfectly. That's how Jesus define Scripture, by using Scripture to define Scripture. So don't let anybody give you their private opinion or their private interpretation of what the Bible says. Let the Word define the Word. I mean, that's where you got the prophecy in the first place, so that you got to get the answer there as well. I mean, that's an easy way to expose false preachers and teachers. Just hear what they have to say, like the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17, and then open your Bible to see if that which they say is so. See if it matches up with what the Lord is saying. Because it says in Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So, who is that woman? Well, what does the Bible say a woman is in prophecy? Revelation 17:3 says, so he carried me away in the spirit into wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. There she is again. Same beast, same heads, seven heads. So what does a woman mean in prophecy? Jeremiah 6:2 says, I have likened the daughter of Zion unto a comely and delicate woman. Well, Zion's the church. We also understand that the Church of Jesus Christ is considered to be the bride of Christ, because many of the areas in Scriptures that describe her as such. But let's go a bit further to define just who this woman is, shall we? Because we see her sitting on a beast. What does prophecy say a beast represents then? Now, I'm not going to give you my private interpretation. Let the Bible do it. Daniel 7:17 says, these great beasts which are four kings that shall rise up out of the earth. Daniel 7:23 says, doth he saith, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, and shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the earth, tread it down, break it in pieces. And so, it's going to be totally diverse from any other kingdom. Even in today's world, nations are described as beasts. The USA is seen as an eagle. Russia is likened onto a bear. And China even carries the image of a dragon. Many years ago, Daniel was given a great vision about all the nations of the earth till the end of time. In this vision, he saw the last beast to be diverse from all others, Daniel 7:19. But how diverse would it be? Well, according to Revelation 17:3, we already have seen that this beast will have a woman riding on top of it. Since prophecy defines a woman as a church and a beast as a nation, is there such an entity described in history? Is there a church and a state mixed together as one someplace today? Before answering that question, we also found out earlier that this beast the woman is sitting on has seven hills, so I ask, or seven heads, which are translated out to be seven hills, so I ask, is there a place on earth right now that is a church and a nation that sits on seven hills? There's only one place on earth that has this, the Vatican of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, of course, this is only three prophecies. There are a lot more prophecies than this when it comes to pointing to this church as the house of Antichrist. It's a church of lies. It's designed to destroy Christianity. So if you put your faith in what these prelates say or the so-called prophets from Rome say, you're in for a big fall. You're in for a real big fall. Okay. Now, some people have been asking me, how is a pope elected? And it's kind of an involved process. Like when the pope dies, the Carmelingo, which is actually cardinal that manages the pope's secular affairs, he seals the pope's dwelling place in the Vatican and prepares for his burial. At present, that Spanish cardinal, Martinez Somala, is the Carmelingo for the Vatican. So that's what his job. Now, the cardinals will then gather at the Vatican to vote for the next pope. This usually begins within 15 to 30 days after the death of the sitting pope. It probably will happen a little quicker because in the old days they didn't have airplanes and cars and whatnot, but it's probably within about 2 weeks they'll start voting. Now, while the gathering and the voting process is taking place, the College of Cardinals carry the responsibility of running the day-to-day activities of the church. At present, that Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, he's the head of the College of Cardinals, and he's also the one that's the head of the newly opened Office of Inquisition since February of 91. Pope John Paul II reopened the Office of Inquisition. He, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, is the leader of that, and he's also the head of the College of Cardinals. So, and he's also in running to be the next pope. So, and out of the 180 cardinals, only those under the age of 80 will participate in the election process. They'll gather in the Sistine Chapel to vote by secret ballot as many times as needed to come up to a two-thirds majority. After each vote, the ballots are burned with chemicals added to make the smoke rising from the Vatican either black or white. Black, of course, signifies a failed vote. White would signify a successful vote. Now, if after 30 failed voting sessions, they may and probably will opt to just use a simple majority. That's their right. They have that option. It is believed that any Roman Catholic can be elected pope, as I said earlier. However, for centuries, it has only been active cardinals under the age of 80 that have been elected. I do have some of my favorites that I may mention on the next week's broadcast if, in fact, the pope is still not elected. Because there's about 10 or 15 men in the running, and there's four that I'm kind of watching that I would think judging by how this pope wants to do all these evil things with the Mark of the Beast and whatnot, I do have four favorites that I think that there will probably be moving in. The voting process can last as little as one day or as long as 54 days as it did back in 1831. Once the pope's elected, white smoke, of course, will arise to alert the gathering Catholics that a new pope has been elected. And once the pope's elected, a senior cardinal will shout the words, Habemus Papam, in Latin, which means we have a pope, from the Vatican balcony. So there you have it. But it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, but probably a month or so. But I mean, the prelates of Rome call this city the Eternal City. Okay, as a blunt and open mockery of the prophetic facts of a mighty and just God. The Bible says that this city is going to burn, and they're calling it the Eternal City. This city is about to burn before the eyes of man, just as prophecy predicted. No man on earth can start that fire, and no man on earth can stop that fire. The prophecy is sure. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 says, How long halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And sadly, the people answered him not a word. Hopefully everybody here will open their scriptures in the coming days. That's it for this week, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Please try to catch us again next week. For those that can't, you can go to www.remnantofgod.org. Click the Antique Radios on the main page. You can get to the archives from there. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry saying, until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with a desire to be the Christian he created you to be. Thank you for listening. And remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.